I am awake. Then the fates are waking up as well, and all of Valenda is in peril. As long as you are in this city, you are not safe. You must get as far away from the fates as possible. Leave Valenda immediately. The fates are as vicious as the stories say. They were created out of fear, and fear is part of what fuels their power, so they will try to inflict as much as possible. Fight against being afraid if you encounter them, and be safe, my loves. If I can, I will make my way back to you both. With more love than you can imagine. Your mother.
No!
Tella ripped the sheets from the bed and pressed them to her eyes like a handkerchief. Her tears were angry and hot. They didn't last, but they hurt. How could her mother do this? It wasn't just that she'd left, but that she'd tricked Tella to do it. She hadn't been hungry or weak. She'd wanted to get away, to leave again. Tella crumpled the note in her fist and instantly regretted it. If she didn't find her mother, this was all she'd have. No, Tella couldn't think like that. She'd conquered death. She would find her mother and bring her back. She didn't care what the message said. Tella had decided long ago to never make decisions ruled by fear. Fear was a poison that people mistook as protection. Making choices to stay safe could be just as treacherous. Her father had hired horrible guards to keep himself, his money, and his estate safe. Her sister had almost married someone she'd never met to keep Tella safe. Tella didn't care how safe she was, as long as she had her mother. A voice in the back of Tella's head warned this was a hazardous idea. Her mother had told her to leave the city to avoid the fates, but Tella was partly responsible for the fates being free. And she had not sacrificed so much and worked so hard just to be left by her mother again. The sun still shined too bright, merchants still filled the sidewalks, and the roads were still coated in a carnival of half-eaten holiday treats when Tella stepped outside. But beneath the aroma of heated sugar and lost pieces of celebrations, Tella picked up another scent, far sweeter than inexpensive pleasures. Magic. Tella recognized the aroma from the dreams she'd shared with Legend. It had also clung to her mother when Tella had held her. The magical scent was faint, but it left enough of a trail for Tella to follow through the crowds.
"Excuse me?"
"Sorry, miss." More than one inebriated person stumbled into Tella as she followed the magical scented trail through the packed streets, until she found herself near University Circle at another set of Valenda's ruins. Tella didn't actually spend much time in this part of the city. She didn't know these ruins. They were far more intricate than the ancient arena she'd followed Legend into earlier. These passageways, arches, and arcades appeared to have been used for commerce. She really hoped they didn't lead to more portals as she started climbing the steep trail that led to them. She probably should have changed into fresh shoes. Her thin slippers were completely ruined from the snow and then darting through the hot city. It was easier to walk once she took them off. The granite stairs were warm from the sun, and yet Tella felt a brush of something cold running down her nape like spider's legs. She hazarded a glance over her shoulder. No one was behind her. No guards stood between the trees to her sides. In fact, there didn't appear to be any guards at all. But the slick sensation of being watched increased, along with the throbbing sensation of magic. Tella couldn't just smell the magic now, she could feel it, stronger than when she'd followed Legend. It pulsed around her as if the steps had a beating heart. Thump, thump, thump. Magic pounded beneath her bare feet as she continued to climb the ruins. Except, suddenly, they no longer appeared so ruined. Instead of crumbling arches, Tella saw pristine curves covered in brightly painted carvings of red chimeras reminiscent of the ones she'd spied at the faded ball. There were silver lambs with heads like wolves, blue horses with green-veined dragon wings, hawks with black ram horns, and, Tella jolted back at the sight of Legend's royal guards, 7 of them, all strewn across the top of the stairs like knocked-over toy soldiers. She stubbed her heel on a rock as she stumbled back another step. Until that moment, it hadn't occurred to her that maybe the magic-scented trail she had been chasing didn't belong to her mother. If all the fates were awake, one of them might have done this. But these guards didn't look dead. Maybe Tella was tricking herself, but they appeared to be sleeping. She crept closer and cautiously pressed her finger to one guard's neck. She thought she felt a pulse, when a rushed set of footfalls broke the quiet. Did they belong to her mother, or a fate? Tella's stomach tied into a knot. Before the fates had been freed from the cards, the spell had begun to crack, and ghostly versions of the undead queen and her handmaidens had temporarily slipped out of the cards and almost killed her. But Tella had survived, and she'd rather face them all over again than risk losing her mother again. Tella chased the footfalls down the narrow stairs into a poorly lit labyrinth of cells with pearly white bars. They were almost pretty, but she hated cages. The sight of each one made her bare feet sprint faster. Her bruising pace didn't slow until the hallway opened into a brilliantly torch-lit cavern that reeked of sulfur and dank running water. It could have easily been an elaborate set for a historical play, the prettiest of torture chambers, or a training room for an ancient circus. Red tightropes crisscrossed above Tella's head, with no net beneath. Painted circles that looked like wheels of death, all decorated with knives, spun around the edges. Beyond the wheels were pits of vibrant orange-tipped flames that burned like lakes of fire beneath narrow suspension bridges. In a corner, a granite carousel covered in decorative spikes whirled. Cutting through the center of it all was a river of red. Tella's mother stood on the other side of it. But she looked nothing like the weak woman Tella had left lying in a bed. Chapter 11. Donatella. Paloma looked like a wicked version of Scarlet. Tella didn't know where her mother had found new clothes, but she now wore a floor-length black leather coat with short sleeves that showed off long garnet-red gloves. They were the same color as her corset top. On her legs, Paloma wore fitted bone-white breeches, which tucked into black leather boots that went over her knees. A dagger rested in a sheath, snug against her calf, while a thin silver rope wrapped around her opposite thigh like a pet snake. She looked brutal and beautiful, like a criminal who'd just escaped from a wanted poster. A myth who'd ripped herself free from a story to give it a different ending. And Tella desperately wanted to be a part of that ending. "Please don't leave again," Tella cried. Then she was running, barreling through the cavern, leaping over the stream of red and into her mother's arms. Tella hugged her with everything she had. Maybe if she held on tight enough, she wouldn't have to let go this time. Tella wanted a different ending, too. She wanted one with her mother and Scarlet, smiling and laughing and making wondrous plans for the future. "You shouldn't be here," Paloma said, her voice sharp, and yet she didn't release Tella. She stroked her ratted curls with a tenderness Tella had never been able to capture in her memories. "I knew you'd be fierce," Paloma said, "but Donatella, this is a fight that will destroy you if you don't walk away." She dropped her arms. "No!" Tella grabbed her mother's wrists. She'd hold on for the rest of her life if she had to. "You belong with Scarlet and me. I don't know what you think you need to do, but please come back to us."
"I can't," Paloma tried to shake free, but Tella refused to let go.
You need to get out of here. It's not safe. My life hasn't been safe since you left. Paloma's hazel eyes turned glassy, and her voice gentled at last. I hate that you've experienced so much pain, but I'm only going to bring you more. I'm the one who's dangerous tonight, Donatella. I'm here because I need to kill someone. No, Tella argued, even as she felt the blood drain from her face. You're just saying that to make me leave. I wish I were. But there are things from my past that I need to make right, and I won't risk letting you and Scarlet get involved. I've made countless mistakes, but you and your sister are the only things I've made that have brought something better into this world. Her daring smile returned, giving Tella hope that maybe her mother didn't really want to do this. Tella only had to convince her of that. Just come back with me to say goodbye to Scarlet, Tella pled. She's missed you too. I wish I could. Paloma reached up and cupped Tella's jaw. I would go with you, but I have to do this, or you and your sister will never be safe. She stroked Tella's cheek, one gentle touch, before she slipped her gloved fingers to the back of Tella's neck and pulled her closer. I love you so much, and I'm sorry. Something sharp poked out from the tips of Paloma's gloves and pricked Tella's nape. She felt a bite of cold and a sense of liquid being injected into her veins.
What?
Her tongue felt suddenly heavy and useless. She wanted to ask what her mother had done. She wanted to ask why she suddenly couldn't move her arms or legs. She wanted to say so much more, but nothing came out except that one powerless what. Her mother had only pulled her close so she could paralyze Tella with the tips of the gloves. This must have been what she'd done to the knocked-out guards. It will be all right, Paloma soothed, her hands hooked beneath Tella's arms. But nothing felt fine. Tella couldn't believe her mother had left her, then drugged her, or that she was now dragging Tella's body toward the mouth of the cavern. Tella tried to fight, but her limbs wouldn't obey. She could barely even feel them. Her mother finally stopped at one of the cracked wheels of death, the kind circus performers strapped women to and then threw knives at while the wheel spun and spun. Her mother didn't strap Tella to it, but she did tuck her behind it, hiding Tella between the circle and the granite wall.
No, don't do this!
Tella tried to object, but her tongue was so thick and heavy she couldn't even manage a squeak. You should fall asleep soon. Once you wake up, leave this city with your sister. I'll find you when I can. Paloma kissed Tella on the cheek, her lips lingering longer than before. But despite what she said, this did not feel like an I'll find you later kiss. This was an I'm planning on never seeing you again kiss.
Mother!
Tella tried to shake the numb from her limbs. She wasn't passing out like the guards. Her mother must have used up most of her poison on them. Tella could feel tingling in her toes, but she couldn't get them to move. She couldn't even crawl after her mother as she walked away. All Tella accomplished was a ragged breath, but the sound was so pathetic. It was muffled by the grate of footsteps entering the cavern. Heavy and pounding, the sort of footsteps that wanted to make an entrance. Tella didn't know if it was her mother's drugs, but the air grew hotter as the menacing sound became louder. The intruder moved close enough for Tella to see a pair of masculine boots caked in dust. But the figure continued past, not even pausing as he spun the cracked circus wheel in front of her. It groaned alive, ticking like an off-kilter clock as it rotated. Click, click, clack. Tella didn't like the sound, but it allowed her to view the cavern when the fractured wedge of the wheel rotated her way. Her first peek between the broken crack only lasted long enough to see that sparks now filled the cavern. as if the air was on the verge of catching fire. The tiny flames danced around the man, making the gold on his red military coat sparkle. He stood right in front of her mother. Paloma looked much smaller than before as she lifted her face toward him expectantly. "I feared I'd seen you for the last time," she said. The wheel continued to rotate, obstructing Tella's view once more. When the crack reached Tella again, the intruder was stroking her mother's hair, and her mother was gazing up at him with adoration in her eyes, as if she'd been waiting for this clandestine meeting even more than Tella had been longing to reunite with her. This wasn't how it was supposed to be. "Gavriel," Paloma said his name as if it were a secret that only she'd been told. "I've missed you so much. I hope you'd come back to these ruins." The wheel continued to spin. When the fragmented piece came around again, the man's hand was in her mother's hair. "You're as beautiful as I remember," he said. Then his lips pressed to hers, and Tella swore all the flames in the cavern surged brighter. The sparks in the air glowed like stars. Tella could feel their heat from behind the wheel. Tella was going to be ill. She wanted the wheel to stop, to block her from seeing anything else, but instead it began turning faster, as if it was enthralled by the kiss. Tella prayed to the saints for the embrace to end, or that she'd at least regain her ability to move, to fully block it out, but her limbs remained numb and the kiss went on, intimate and burning and so, so very wrong. Clearly, her mother hadn't come here to murder anyone. She was here because she wanted to be with this man more than she wanted to be with her daughters. Tella might have felt a knot in her stomach if she'd had more sensation in her body. "My memories of you did not do you justice." His lips had moved to her jaw. "I'm glad you missed me, too," she said. "I thought of you every day." His mouth trailed to her ear, but what should have been a whisper echoed throughout the entire chamber. "I pictured all the ways I would get my revenge against you." Click, click, clack. This love story had just gone very wrong. For several tense seconds, Tella's heart raced. She couldn't hear anything other than the wheel until her mother's strong voice grew louder when she said, "Gavriel, I made a mistake." "You forced me back inside that cursed deck of destiny once you learned I was a fate. That was a very intentional error, Paradise." God's blood and teeth. This man, this fate, had been trapped in the cards too. Her mother had just kissed him. What was she doing? She'd pushed away her own daughter so she could cling to one of the monstrous immortals who only saw humans as pawns and fragile sources of entertainment. Tella didn't know which fate he was. He could have been the assassin, the fallen star, the poisoner, the apothic, or chaos. It didn't matter. All of them were demons. Tella wanted to scream at her mother to leave, but Tella's tongue was still thick. Her lips were numb. All she could feel were a few rebel tingles, and even if her mouth had moved, even if she'd warned her mother, Tella doubted Paloma would have responded. Her mother already knew the man before her was a fate. She probably knew which one he was and what terrible powers he had. And she didn't appear to care. Another spin of the wheel showed Paloma leaning into the fate again. "I was warned that you'd kill me to keep yourself from falling in love with me," Paloma said, her voice much more tender than the way she'd spoken to Tella earlier. "I panicked, Gavriel. I did what I thought I had to defend myself. We both do what it takes to survive. That's one of the things we've always had in common. But I've regretted that choice ever since. Why do you think I'm here right now?
That's what I've been trying to figure out, he said.
Tella had met fates before, the Prince of Hearts and the Undead Queen. This fate's voice was even colder, his presence more commanding and powerful, the little flames around him sparking with his every word. But Paloma didn't pull away.
There's nothing to figure out. I'm here because I want to be with you.
She rose up on her toes. The wheel whirled, blocking out what was happening again, but the stretch of silence told Tella they were kissing again.
Do you still want revenge? Paloma gasped finally. Or do you want to be with me too?
Maybe revenge can wait.
His mouth returned to her mother's. Tella started to close her eyes. She couldn't watch any more of this. But just as she was about to stop looking, she caught a glimpse of silver in her mother's hands as Paloma pulled out a knife and quickly dug it into the fate's heart. A roar echoed across the cavern. Tella could have cheered, but she wasn't sure what her mother was doing. Fates were immortal. If they died, they just came back to life. But maybe her mother knew something Tella did not. She held her breath as the wheel came around yet again. But the fate wasn't lying on the ground or falling to a temporary death. He was standing, staring at Paloma as if she'd truly surprised him. Then, in a flash too quick for Tella to see, his massive hand pulled out the dagger and thrust it into Paloma's chest and twisted. She let out a sound that Tella knew she'd hear in her nightmares forever. It rocked the cavern walls as Tella tried to scream too. But she couldn't even manage to whisper. Her lips were still tingling with numbness. There was a similar prickling sensation in her limbs, but it wasn't enough to move them. She tried to crawl on her belly, out from behind the wheel, and somehow save her mother, but all Tella could do was watch. The wheel of death slowed to a crawl. Click. Click. Clack. Everything had been moving too fast, and now it was all going too slow. When the wheel finished its turn, Paloma was totally still on the ground, while the bleeding fate looked down on her.
Get up, get up, get up!
Tella finally got her fingers to move. Her toes were gaining feeling, too. But her mother wasn't moving at all. Tella dug her fingers into the ground until they started to bleed, but it wasn't enough to propel her forward. Even the wheel had ceased spinning. The fate fell to his knees, but her mother remained on the ground. Tella managed to crawl forward an inch. She wasn't ready to give up yet. Her mother couldn't be dead. Her mother was too strong to die. Tella had fought too hard to lose her. The story wasn't supposed to end this way.
I will rip your arms from your chest. You son of a...
A hand clamped over her lips, cold and sweet, like apples and faded magic.
Quiet, my love, Jax whispered. There's nothing you can do for her now, except keep yourself alive.
His cool fingers stayed in place until after Gavriel finally died from the wound her mother had inflicted. His massive body fell to the ground. The cavern should have filled with silence, but Tella could hear the pieces of her heart as it shattered. Chapter 12. Donatella. Tella wished that time would stop. For years, she'd divided her life into two periods. When her mother had been there, and after her mother had left. Now her mother was dead. But Tella didn't want to use this moment as a measure of time. She didn't want time to move forward at all. She wanted time to freeze. Like her unmoving limbs. But even they were regaining echoes of feeling. She couldn't walk, but she managed to crawl across the cavern's granite floor to her mother's body, But that's all it was. A body. When Paloma had been in her enchanted sleep, her face had still possessed color. Her chest had moved up and down. Tella had once thought she was still as a corpse. But she wasn't. Until now. At least he stabbed her instead of burning her to death with his powers, Jack said. Fire's the most painful way to die. That's not helping, Tella muttered. Well, I'm not really the comforting sort. Jack's cool arms slipped beneath Tella's back as he picked her up from the ground.
Put me down, Tella said.
Jack's was a fate, and the last thing she wanted was help from someone like him. Jax huffed a sigh.
If I leave you here, you'll die like your mother when Gavriel comes back to life. Or another fate will just find you.
Why do you care?
I don't. Jax flashed his dimples, narrow lips parting into a sharp smile that turned him into the beautifully cunning Prince of Hearts that she'd been fascinated with as a child. I just prefer torturing you myself.
Too late, she mumbled,
and she probably should have tried to fight him more. Jax hadn't bothered her for the last 60-odd days, and supposedly she was his true love, the one person immune to his fatal kiss. But he was still a fate, a murderous one. He'd been heir to the throne before legend, and according to rumors, he'd killed 17 people to take that place. He'd even threatened to kill Tella. He was viperous and fatal. Yet Tella couldn't muster the appropriate fear. She couldn't feel anything other than numb. Her mother's death didn't even make sense. Gavriel hadn't hurt her until after she'd wounded him. He might not have killed her if she hadn't stabbed him. Why would she risk it? When he would only come back to life.
Who is Gavriel? Tella choked out. Which fate is he?
Jack's cold fingers tensed against her back.
I'm only telling you this because I like him even less than I like you. Gavriel is the fallen star.
The same fate who, according to legend's witch, had created all the fates. A venomous surge of rage briefly broke through Tella's shock. If Legend really did want to kill the fallen star to defeat the other fates, he'd have to get in line.
I'll find a way to destroy him, Tella vowed.
Not in this condition, Jax muttered as he carried her up a set of steps.
She didn't want to see the sky as she and Jax finally emerged outside. It should have been black, but it was still impossibly blue, rippling with threads of indigo. Tella usually loved it when the sun stayed out so late, when it was night and the world remained light. But now it just felt wrong. The day should have ended. The sun should have fled and turned the world dark the moment her mother had died. Tella's throat went tight. She closed her eyes, attempting to shut out the light, but that only made it worse. Every time her eyes closed, all she could see was the fallen star as he drove a knife into her mother. A sob began to build inside her. She was only dimly aware of her surroundings as Jax carried her down a brick street. She didn't know where he lived now that he was no longer heir to the Meridian Empire and had been kicked out of Idlewild Castle. She'd assumed he resided in the Spice Quarter, inside a crooked building with a coven of thieves, or in an underground tomb with a den of gangsters. But it didn't smell as if he were taking her to the Spice Quarter. There were no pungent cigars, no streams of spilled liquor or urine stained the ground. Jax had brought her to the clean pathways of University Circle, a world of leather-bound books, pressed robes, and pristine hedges, where ambitious scholars grew like weeds.
His pace turned leisurely as he approached a four-story house made of clay-red bricks and onyx columns. Tella might have asked what they were doing here, or if this was where he lived. But all she could do was let her tears fall. It couldn't even be called crying. Crying gave the impression of participation, action. But Tella was done acting. She could barely keep breathing. "I'd try to say something comforting, but last time you didn't appreciate it," Jax murmured. But despite his words, he held her closer to his cool chest as he reached a pair of polished doors. Maybe he really did plan to torture her. Or maybe he knew that even though her paralysis was almost gone, Tella wouldn't have moved if he'd let her. Maybe he knew she'd have lain on the steps leading up to his house even after the sun finally fell and the night turned cold enough to make her numb once again. Because now that she had all her feeling back, it hurt everywhere. Her emotions were bruised and bleeding, and for a moment, she hoped that they'd bleed out. Then maybe it wouldn't feel so impossibly painful or so hard to breathe and think and feel anything but agony. The door before them swung open. They stepped inside, and the wretched blue sky was replaced by a ceiling covered in gold chandeliers that dangled lights over walls papered with black and red symbols from playing cards. It was a den of gambling, full of dealers who smiled like tigers and players eager as cubs. People were laughing and clapping and rolling dice on tables with whoops and hollers, and all of it had never sounded so wrong. It was a blur of gaming chips and fizzing drinks, discarded cravats and clacking wheels of misfortune and chance. When someone won, confetti made of diamonds and hearts and clubs and spades rained down on everyone. The room was alive in a way her mother was not. If anyone thought it odd that Jax was carrying a hysterical girl, no one remarked on it. Or maybe Tella just didn't notice. The drawn windows might have managed to block out the sun, but all the noise and chaos of Jack's gaming parlor only intensified the piercing emptiness inside of her. Jack's arms tightened around her as he wove through the crowd. Multiple people approached him. "Can't you see my hands are full?" he drawled, or simply just ignored them. A few steps later, and they were on the stairs. The carpets went from plush to threadbare the higher they climbed. Jax had redecorated the ground floor for his guests, but left the upper levels unchanged. Not that Tella saw much of them. Her eyes mostly stayed on the ground, and Jax's scuffed boots until he carried her through another door. It looked like a study. There was an empty fireplace with a decorative amber rug marred by several scorch marks in front of it, a worn whiskey brown leather couch, and a scratched desk with a lone plant underneath a glass dome. Jax continued to cradle her as he sat slowly on the deep couch. Tella could have pulled away. It was wrong to let him touch her. He was the same type of creature that had killed her mother in front of her. And yet, she feared that Jack's deadly arms were the only thing still holding her together. She didn't want his comfort, but she desperately needed comfort. Jax's shirt had quickly dampened against Tella's cheek, but rather than push her away, he held her closer. He rubbed circles around her back, while his other cold hand wove through her curls, carefully untangling them with gentle fingers.
"Why are you helping me?"
Tella finally managed. Unlike Legend, who either hid his feelings or pretended to have them when he didn't, Jax never pretended to care. When he had an agenda, he just made threats to get what he wanted.
"You're not fun when you're this pathetic. I can't torment you if you're already miserable."
His hand left her hair to press against her cheek and brush several tears away. The touch was as soft as the last kiss her mother had pressed to that very same cheek, and Tella lost what she'd been able to keep together. No longer were tears just falling from her eyes. She was crying harder than she ever had in her life, sobbing with so much force she felt as if she might break. It was too much emotion to hold on to and too much to release.
It was all for nothing,
Tella moaned.
Everything I did to save her only worked to destroy her. I should have never tried to change the future I'd seen in the Oracle. The first time I saw her, the card only showed her in a prison. If I hadn't tried to alter that future, she'd still be alive.
Or maybe you'd be dead too, Jack said. You don't know how things could have turned out differently.
But they could have been different.
Tella pictured all the other ways her mother's story could have ended. If Tella had listened to her mother as a child and never played with her cursed deck of destiny, maybe her mother never would have left the girls on Triesda in the first place. Or if Legend had just taken the deck, like Tella had asked, and then destroyed it before any more of the fates escaped, her mother would be alive now. Tella had made so many mistakes. If only she could go back and make one right. If she could just rechart her path so it led somewhere else. That was it. A spark of hope lit up inside her. Tella could travel back in time and recreate the entire day. Now that all the fates were awake, there was a way to do it. Then, at least one good thing could come from their return. Tella looked up at Jax, seeing him for the first time since he'd carried her away. His untamed locks of golden hair made him look more like a lost boy than a murderous fate. But his unearthly eyes were the silver blue of young girls' dreams, and his lips were so sharp she imagined he could cut with a kiss. She couldn't trust him. But to do this, she would need him. In Dex of Destiny, there was a fate that could move through space and time. The assassin. What if he could help undo this?
I know you're grieving, Jack said. But that's the worst idea I've ever heard. Traveling through time is always a mistake.
So is trusting you, but here I am, and you haven't hurt me yet.
Yet is the key word in that sentence. He ran a cool finger under her chin. Stay long enough, and I guarantee that will change.
Tella sat straight up. Tell me where the assassin is. And I'll leave right now.
Even if I knew where he was, I wouldn't tell you, Donatella. Contacting the assassin is not a good idea, and not just because of his nickname. Before the fates were trapped in the deck, the fallen star, the undead queen, and the murdered king all used the assassin to travel through space and time. And all the different timelines made him insane. He's not always aware of when he is, and he'll disappear for long stretches. People who've convinced him to take them back in time don't always return. As I said, worst idea.
Nothing could be worse than this. Please, Jax.
Tella grabbed his damp shirt with her fists, pulling his cruel face even closer.
Help me find him. I'm begging you, it hurts so much. Too much. Everything is painful. Each time I close my eyes, I see him murdering her. Every time it's quiet, I hear the awful click-clack of that wheel, and I can't shut it off.
Jack's hand went still against her back.
What if I could take away the pain and the sadness?
How?
She asked.
It's one of my abilities.
He wiped another trail of tears from her cheeks. A warning flare cut through some of Tella's grief. Myth had it that the Prince of Hearts had the ability to control emotions. But since Jax had not been in the Deck of Destiny when Legend had freed the other fates, he should have still been at half power.
I thought you didn't have your full powers back.
I don't, he bit out. I still can't control emotions the way I used to, or give someone feelings that they don't have. But I can temporarily remove unwanted feelings. I can take away your pain for tonight. His icy fingers lingered on her cheek, a numbing promise and a warning all at once. I won't be permanently erasing it, my love. You'll still be experiencing it. But when your sorrow returns tomorrow, it won't be as powerful as it is now. His other hand stroked up and down her back again until it was easier for her to breathe. Too easy. She wondered if he was using his powers to calm her, but Tella couldn't bring herself to care as much as she should have. The heartache was too overwhelming. She knew that the instant Jax let her go, her lungs would tighten once more, her tears would return to sobs. And even if she didn't close her eyes, she'd see her mother dying over and over and over. 100 deaths in the span of one heartbeat. Too many heartbeats, and she might die too. Do it, Tella said. A part of her knew how desperately wrong it was to take comfort from a fate. But even if it was a mistake, it couldn't be as bad as this. Take the sadness and the pain. Just take everything that hurts. Chapter 13. Donatella. Jax's cool hand cupped Tella's cheek. All right, my love. He tilted her face toward his as he lowered his lips to hers. Tella pressed her palms against his chest and shoved off of his lap.
What are you doing?
I'm taking the pain away.
You didn't say you had to kiss me.
It's the most painless way. It will still hurt, but... The last time they'd kissed, her heart had stopped working properly.
No, she said. I'm not letting you kiss me again.
Jax ran his tongue over his teeth, thinking for a long minute. There is another way, but... A second hesitation. It requires an exchange of blood. A rigid spike of awareness shot down Tella's spine. Blood sharing was powerful. Tella had learned during her first Caraval that blood, time, and extreme emotions were three of the things that fueled magic. Tella had drunk blood before. She didn't recall it clearly, but she knew she'd been on the brink of death after her altercation with the undead queen and her handmaidens. She might have even died, but then she'd been fed blood, and it had saved her life. But blood also had the ability to take life. One drop of blood had once cost Scarlet a day of her life.
How much blood would you need to drink? She asked.
I don't need to drink any, unless you wish to do it that way. He flashed her a feral smile as he pulled a jewel-tipped dagger from his boot. Half the gems were missing, but the ones that were still there sparkled, bitter blue and ruinous purple. He sliced the dagger down the center of his palm, blood glittering with flecks of gold. You'll need to do the same. Jax handed her the knife.
What happens after I cut myself?
We clasp hands and say magic words. His voice was teasing, but his unearthly eyes were gleaming with grave intent as he held his bleeding palm for her to take. He did not look human at all as gold-flecked blood continued to well in the hollow of his hand. It should have frightened Tella, but there was too much grief and too much pain. She didn't have room for emotions like fear. She didn't even feel the dagger's cut as she pressed it to her palm. Blood welled, darker than the glittering stream running down Jax's wrist. But he made no move to stop its flow. His eyes were on her hand, watching as two red beads fell and stained her sullied yellow sash and her periwinkle skirt. Her gown had started out the day so bright, but now it was ruined, like so many other things. Tella handed Jax the dagger back, but he dropped it to the ground and took her bleeding hand in his. His pulse was racing. His palms had never felt so hot. The blood from his wound felt eager to mingle with hers.
"Now repeat after me."
The words that followed were in a language Tella didn't recognize. Each one rippled to life on her tongue, metallic and magical sweet, as if she could taste the blood flowing between their hands. It surged faster and hotter with every foreign word. Jack had promised to take her sorrow and her pain, but something about this exchange made her feel as if she was agreeing to give him even more.
"Stop before it's too late."
But Tella couldn't stop. Whatever Jax wanted to take, she'd let him have it. If he just took away her grief. The last three words he spoke all at once, in a voice that thrummed with power. "Persis Atai Lirinialis." These words did not taste sweet at all. They latched onto her tongue like barbs, biting and sharp and utterly unholy. The leather couch, the empty fireplace, the cluttered desk all disappeared. Tella tried not to scream or crumble against Jax as invisible cords of magic lashed around their clasped hands. It felt like threads of flames and burning dreams. Then the fire was spreading, searing her arms, scorching her chest, and branding her flesh as raw magic infected her veins.
"Don't let go,"
Jax commanded. His other hand was now clutching her unwounded palm. But Tella could barely feel it. She was back in the cavern, on the rocky floor, watching her mother walk away from her. Then Gavriel was there, and this time there was no spinning wheel between them. Tella was seeing the fallen star pull the dagger from his chest, thrust it into her mother's heart, and twist until,
"Look at me,"
Jax hissed through his teeth. Tella opened her eyes. Jax's forehead was damp with sweat, and his chest moved unevenly as his ragged breathing matched hers. He wasn't just removing her pain. He was taking it. Bloody tears streaked his cheeks, and agony turned his eyes pale. Tella clutched his hands tighter and pressed her forehead to his.
"Is this transaction too intense for you?" Jax panted. "Or are you actually worried about me?"
"Don't flatter yourself."
"Don't lie to me. I feel everything you're feeling right now."
His lips moved so close to her mouth. She could taste his bloody tears dripping down the edges. They were bitter, full of loss and grief, but also cool and pure like ice. It wasn't quite a kiss, but it didn't hurt so much when she brushed her lips against his. Maybe she should have let him kiss her. Maybe it wouldn't hurt her this time.
"I promise it won't hurt this time,"
he rasped against her mouth. Tella let her lips pass over his again. He was a liar and a fate. But when she pressed her mouth to his, it felt better than anything else had that day. Her pain shattered as he kissed her back. Everything was a tangle of tongues and tears and blood and heartbreak as Jax continued to take her sorrow. He drank it in with every needy movement of his cold lips against hers. His hands stayed locked with Tella's, but they snaked behind her back, holding her tighter and caging her in as they both tumbled onto the floor. This was nothing like their flawless first kiss during the fated ball. This kiss was urgent and wild and raw and corrupt, full of all the terrible emotions flowing between them, a torrent of sorrow and pain. They were on the rough carpet and all over each other. Her teeth sank into his lips, biting sharp enough to draw blood. He kissed her harder, possessively, nipping her jaw, then her neck, as his lips and teeth trailed down to her collarbone. Before,
He could feel her emotions. But now, she could feel his. Even though he'd taken both her pain and her sorrow, that wasn't what he was feeling now. He felt desire, desperation, lust, obsession. He wanted her. She was all he wanted, all he thought about. She felt it in the way the kiss began to shift from reckless and hungry to languorous and savoring, as if he'd considered this for a very long time, and now he was acting out all the things he'd imagined. A faraway place that Tella tried to ignore told her this was all a great mistake. Jax wasn't really the one she wanted. Legend was. No matter what he did or what he was, it would always be Legend. Maybe she could never actually have him, but she wanted him. If she was going to kiss one of the villains, she wanted it to be Legend, not Jax. She needed to push Jax away. But Legend never touched her anymore. Even if Legend had been there, he might not have held her, let alone kiss her. And it felt so good to be kissed, to be cherished and touched, to feel desire instead of pain. The sorrow was almost gone, and the kiss grew more intense. Or maybe now that Tella was no longer feeling crushing despair or seeing death, she could truly feel the entire kiss and every inch of Jax's body as it pressed against hers. But even in her muddled state, Tella knew she couldn't let it continue. She ripped her bleeding hand free of Jax's and ended the kiss. Jax made no attempt to stop her, but he made no further effort to move away. They were both on their sides, chests pressed together, legs all tangled. The pain and the sorrow and the hurt were gone, but so was all of her strength. She was boneless, empty. There were splatters of blood all over her dress and her hands and all over him. Something intimate, beyond the physical, had just passed between them. Red tracks ran down his cheeks, ghosts of tears he'd cried for her. She should have tried to leave, but her body was exhausted. And she liked the way it felt when Jax wrapped his arms around her, holding her tight to his cool chest as if he wanted her to stay. After she regained her strength, she would go back to hating him. All she cared about now was that the pain was gone. Thank you, Jax. He closed his eyes and took a deep breath. I'm not sure I did you a favor, my love. Chapter 14. Donatella. Tella woke up haltingly. Her dreams had been feverish flashes, all fleeing too fast for her to fully remember. But she knew Legend hadn't been in them. After 2 months of sharing dreams with Legend, she wasn't used to dreaming alone. She also hadn't expected to dream alone. Legend had his full powers back. Since he'd taken all the witch's powers, he probably had more power than before. But he still hadn't visited Tella's dreams. Had he seen her following him yesterday? Was something still wrong with his powers, or was it something else? Tella's heart pounded, and her skin flushed hot except for all of the places where she tangled with the Prince of Hearts' icy arms and legs. Dirty blood and saints. She needed to get out. She hadn't meant to sleep there all night. She needed to leave and find her sister, who was probably worried to death. Carefully, Tella slid her leg out from between Jax's. His arms responded by pulling her closer. Air rushed from her lungs as their faces became perfectly aligned. Even in slumber, he looked vicious in his beauty. His brows formed a cruel line. His dark eyelashes looked sharp enough to prick fingers. His cheeks were so pale, they'd turned an icy shade of blue. And his lips still had flecks of blood from where she had bitten him during their kiss. Her skin went suddenly hot.
She could still taste him on her lips. Tart and bitter and deliciously sweet. Apples and grief and faded magic. She refused to think of it as a mistake. But she couldn't let it happen again. Giving up on Graceful, Tella clumsily shook out of his grip, jumped up to her feet, and bolted for the exit. Tella smelled breakfast porridge and bitter black tea when she knocked on the boarding house door. The light brown wood was warm from the freshly risen sun. It would be another hot day. The back of Tella's neck was already damp from the growing heat. She looked down at the dirt and blood spattered across her tired periwinkle dress. She should have stolen a cloak from Jack's before leaving. If Scarlet saw the blood on her skirt, she'd ask questions Tella wasn't eager to answer. And Tella imagined that her sister already had a lot of questions. But it was too late now. The proprietor had opened the door. She took one look at Tella and started to close it.
"We don't take in charity cases."
"Wait!" Tella grabbed the edge and held tight. The woman must not have recognized Tella in her current state of dishevelment. "I have a suite here on the second floor with my sister."
"Not anymore."
The owner puckered her mouth.
"You and your sister have been evicted for destruction of property. Leave, or I'll have you arrested."
"You can't do that." The last time Tella had been there, she'd ripped a sheet from a bed, but that hardly constituted destruction of property. "My sister and I have already paid through the end of the year, so get out of my way, or maybe I'll have you arrested."
Tella shoved on the door, hard enough to force it all the way open.
"Stop!" the owner yelled.
"I will call the patrol if you go any farther."
"Go ahead!" Tella cried as she barreled up the stairs. She didn't know what was going on, but she needed to see her sister and... Tella crashed to a halt just outside the door. Only fragments of defenseless wood now hung from its hinges. Someone had nailed a sheet to the frame, but somehow that made it even worse, like a closed casket at a funeral. Tella yanked the fabric back with one pull.
"Scarlet?"
she called. But her voice was met with only silence and chaos. The furniture was splintered and charred, the mirrors were cracked, and shards of the chandeliers covered the ground in sharp glass tears. It looked like the scene of a crime.
"Scarlet!"
Tella cried again, louder than before. The painful emotions Jax had taken away threatened to return in a new form at the thought of losing her sister. There didn't appear to be any blood, but that didn't mean Scarlet was all right, and Tella could not imagine that her sister had done all of this.
"She's right up there, officers."
The proprietor's starched voice climbed up the stairs, followed by two guards in royal blue uniforms. Tella started to panic. Her chest tightened the same way it had last night.
"Scarlet!"
she called one more time, though it was obvious her sister wasn't there. By now, several guests had poked their heads out of their doors. Their expressions ranged from curious to frightened to irritated. But no one breathed a word as the guards closed in on Tella. The female guard stepped forward first, slow and careful, as if Tella were a stray cat who might scratch or run away.
"We're not going to hurt you, but we will if you run."
Tella's head snapped to the male guard. And then she felt the hard press of metal as the female darted forward and quickly linked chain cuffs around Tella's wrists.
"What are you doing?"
Tella shouted.
"We're placing you under arrest by order of His Highness, Prince Dante."
Chapter 15. Donatella. Tella rattled the dungeon bars, feeling like the fated lady prisoner who'd been put in a cage for no good reason.
"Your Highness!"
Magic strangled her every time she attempted calling out for Legend. But she was not in the mood to yell for someone who didn't really exist and cry out the name Dante, or even worse, Prince Dante. But there was something pleasantly mocking about Your Highness. She couldn't believe he'd had her arrested. Was it because he knew that she'd followed him the day before? She didn't think he'd seen her, but that still didn't give him the right to imprison her.
Now she definitely didn't need to feel guilty about kissing Jax. Tella shook the bars again. The stone gargoyles, impaled by the tops of them, peered down on her with bulging eyes. She didn't know how long she'd been locked up here all alone. As she'd been dragged inside, she looked around at the other cells, wondering if Legend had brought his witch down here as well. But all Tella saw were the tally marks etched into the walls. There were names carved into the dry stones as well, but she didn't plan on staying long enough to make hers one of them.
"You have no right to keep me locked up!"
Tella cried out. A heavy door groaned open at the end of the torchlit hall, followed by the confident beat of boots.